God can still use this man. And don't know what's going on, but just pray for him. And it was through him that we met Brother Matt Wood. I don't know if that was God's purpose, his plan or not. But we've been blessed from it already. Where in the Bible, the only place from my understanding, can you find that God tells a righteous man to get his affairs in order that he's going to die? Where in the Bible? Hezekiah. Which is where we're going to start tonight. So 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. Good job, John. That's not going to be the message. Although that did touch my heart. Get your things in order. Get your house in order. Good words of wisdom. A minister was opening his mail one morning, drawing a single sheet of paper out of an envelope. He found written on only one word, fool. The next Sunday he announced, "I have known many people who have written letters and forgot to sign their names." He said, "But this week I received a letter from someone who only signed their name." Slow tonight. One Sunday, I got two just in case y'all didn't get that first one. One Sunday morning, a mother went to wake her son and tell him it was time to get ready for church. And to which he replied, "I'm not going." She said, "Why not?" He said, "I'll give you two reasons. One, they don't like me. And two, I don't like them." His mother replied, "Well, I'll give you two good reasons why you should go to church this morning. One, you're 54 years old. Two, you're the pastor." See, that was a little bit better. That's the reason I put that one on the back side of it. I do want to tell my wife this. So, yeah, I got to. I already told Brother Earl, and he laughed pretty good, so I'm going to tell it to everybody else. Y'all want to hear something funny about my wife?
Absolutely.
we was at a meeting the other day, and I was already there, and she called me and says, "Something's wrong with the car." That's what I said too, brother. I'm like, "Oh, it's not even 2 years old yet. What's wrong with our van?" She said, "Well, the speed arbiter said I'm doing 60 and everybody's passing me." I said, "Okay, all right." I didn't give much thought of it. We went to our meeting and everything. I said, "Well, just keep up with traffic. Everything will be all right. You know, that's just what guys think, you know." And then we was coming home from vacation Bible school Thursday night. Noah was driving my truck, and she called me and says, "How fast y'all going?" I said, "We're doing 45. That's what the speed limit is. The speed arbiter says I'm doing 60. So now I'm a little concerned. So the next morning I get up, you know, and I start crawling underneath the van. I thought, well, maybe the speed arbiter cable's backed off a little bit, you know, because it's the mechanical side of it. And I thought maybe it just backed off and it was spinning a little faster than it should. I searched for 30 minutes. I couldn't find nothing wrong. So we get in the van and we go down the street, and I pull out on Yana. And I look down and I'm like, "Ain't nothing wrong with your car." She had hit the button and put it on kilometers per hour. She did. Y'all pray for me. I was driving that time because when I looked down, we're both going to be driving. Well, let's get to the serious part why we're here tonight. And it is good to be in the house of the Lord. And I don't think I mentioned it, but we do thank everybody that helped out with Vacation Bible School. Brother Norman and Miss Lisa, we do appreciate it. We had a good time and a good show this year. And above all things, God was honored and lifted up. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about Hezekiah and a little bit about Paul and some other people of the Bible. But Hezekiah's story, for y'all that take notes, you can find in Isaiah 38 and 39. You also find it in 2 Kings 18 through 20, 2 Chronicles 39 through 32, and then you'll find more of Hezekiah in Psalms 120 through 134. Y'all want to jot those things down. But Hezekiah's story starts over in 2 Kings in chapter 18. Verse 3, we find, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. You see, when Hezekiah became king, he started knocking down the groves of Baal. He started ripping up the idols and destroying the brass serpents and everything that they had set up. He started removing everything out of Israel's life that was not God-honoring, just like we should. And that's where we find the beginning of Hezekiah's story. He's trying to make right and do those things in which his father David did, which was follow God. And we look down in verse 5 of chapter 18, it says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. There was only one Hezekiah, the Bible says. And he was a great and mighty king. He opened the gates of the temple and rebuilt them. He reset up the Passover in prayer. And we know for sure that God the Father was with him. For we find in the chapter that he fought the Assyrian army, and an angel of the Lord smote 185,000 in one night. We know that God loved Hezekiah. And that God was on his side because Hezekiah was on God's side. But as we start to look at Hezekiah tonight in chapter 20, we find that Hezekiah is sick. It says, in those days, in verse 1, this is not our text, but I want to read it to you. It says, in those days with Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Hezekiah is in his 14th year of his reign. The Bible says he reigned 29 years. But at this time, he's come down and he's sick. And Isaiah, the prophet, the same prophet Isaiah who wrote the book, comes up to him and tells you, get ready, you're going to die. You know, our doctors sometimes come to a patient and tell them, you know, hey, y'all need to get things in order. Your time is short. And some of us, you know, we wave it off. And say, oh, it's all right. We got plenty of time. But can you imagine if God comes to you and tells you, set your things in order, you're going to die. Well, that's what happened to Hezekiah. And we find, and as we continue to read through, that he rose over and he faces the wall and he begins to cry and he begins to pray out to God for help. As often we do in this time of need, we cry unto our Lord, Father God, help us. Remember me. Remember the good times, Lord. Remember how I served you. And then we're going to pick up in our text as we would stand. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 4. We'll read down through verse 7. The word of God said, and it came to pass before Isaiah was gone, out into the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city of mine, or for mine own sake, and for my servants David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Father God, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we want to thank you again for everything that you've ever done in our lives. And Lord, even the things that we don't know about, Lord, we want to thank you for them. Lord, we thank you for this precious time that you allow us, Lord, to open your word. Lord, but we need your help to interpret it tonight. We need your help to understand it. Lord, we ask that you would bless it into the hearts of your people. Lord, that we may receive blessings from it. Father God, we pray if there's a lost one here tonight, that one will be saved. Lord, we pray that maybe one or two that maybe not be right, that they'll be rightened. But Lord, most of all, we pray that you'll be honored, that you'll be glorified. Lord, have your way and your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The title of my message tonight is Second Chances. Second Chances. We find as we finish reading our text that God answered Hezekiah's prayers and that Isaiah told him to go lay figs on the boil and that Hezekiah was healed. And he was healed because of his faithfulness to God. He was healed because of God heard his heart as he cried out to him as he rode over to the wall. Too low. God heard him. God healed him because he was a righteous king. God healed him because his heart was for God. God healed him for all the things that he had done in his life, starting with his first day of tearing down the groves and everything. God gave him a second chance. God gives us second chances. For those that are saved tonight, those that have believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior, those that have been blood-bought and washed again, can I tell you, God gave you a second chance. It's not a new chance. It's not a second chance at life, but it's a new life. And it's a life of Christ. A life that is supposed to be spent just like Hezekiah did his first 14 years. A life of honoring God and following Him. A life of tearing down the idols and stuff in your life and tearing down the groves in your life so that when you cry out to God, He answers you. God gives us second chances. But what we find here in Hezekiah, he didn't do well with his second chance. He was a great king. He did many things, but you know, he's not known for all the wonderful things that he did. Oftentimes, he's known for the one mistake that he made. You see, Hezekiah, we continue reading down in verse 14 and 15. It says, "Then came Isaiah the prophet unto the king Hezekiah, and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in my house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them." Hezekiah's pride got in the way. The Lord had blessed him with many beautiful things and many treasures. He had filled his houses with everything that possibly could imagine and desire. And with his pride, he showed it all. 2 Chronicles 32 and 31 says, "Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart." God tried his faith. God left his presence just for a moment to see the truth of Hezekiah's heart. And pride come out. A sin. Does the Bible not say pride goeth before the fall? Can I tell you, we do not see the fall of Hezekiah. God blessed him with 15 good years, but can I tell you, the sin scar still lasts on Israel today. But because of his sin, Babylon came later on and took all the treasures, took all the goods, took the captives, all the people. Because of one man's pride. God gave Hezekiah a second chance of life. He done so well the first 14 years of his reign. God gave him 15 more. And he failed out the gate. And because of his sin, the whole country was punished. A whole country suffered because of what one man did. One sin brought reproach, and the scars still show us today. But that's one man's second chance. We know of Saul of Tarsus. Matter of fact, we spent a wonderful week studying all about Saul, who became Paul. We know on the road to Damascus that he had a sunstroke, for the Son of God came down and shined upon him. John got that. In that very, very moment, he became saved. In that moment, God gave him a second chance, a new life. And from that life, we know all the wonderful things that Paul did. You know, at one time when he was Saul, he was a student of Gamaliel, a persecutor of Christians. He desired to destroy them. He desired to destroy everything that Christ stood up. He was zealous of his work. But in one moment, when Christ Jesus came into his heart, he was changed. He was no longer Saul. He became Paul. He became a new creature in Christ. Old things were passed away. Behold, God gave him a second chance. He was born again. Christ came into his heart just like he does each and every one of us when we're saved. There's no different. There's no different Holy Spirit. There's no different saving. The same Christ, the same Paul that day, is the same Christ that saves us when we bow our head and ask Jesus Christ to come in. The very same one. Paul's second chance, he became an apostle, a servant of God. He became a missionary to the Gentile world, doing many great things. He spent the rest of his life with one thing on his mind, God. He spent the rest of his life doing one thing, serving God. He had but one purpose, glorify God. He took his second chance that God gave him, and he glorified God with it. That was his life's journey. He didn't stop. He didn't stumble out the gate like Hezekiah did. He never slowed down. He was just as much zealous as he was before, but this time he was zealous for Christ. He was not halted. He was not hindered. He never slowed down. He finished his race. He finished his course, and he was strong when he did it. We find no scar upon Paul's life. We find no degraded marks upon him. We do not find an issue in the Bible where he failed. We find 13 epistles that he wrote through the Holy Spirit's guiding. We find a wealth of knowledge and love that he loved as Christ as Savior that he passed down to us so that we can learn this of the same God that he knew of. What has it been, over 2,000 years? And we're still reading his letters. We're still learning from the man of God. That once he took that second chance, he never turned back. Once he got that second chance, he never stopped serving. Once he took that second chance, he never turned back to the old lifestyle that he once lived. He took his second chance and he honored it. And he loved it. And he shows that he loved it because he loved God. And he thanked God every day by his life and example that he lived. What we have is two individuals that God gave a second chance. And what we have is two different outcomes. Same God, same chance. Can I tell you, this is true throughout the ages, though. Every Christian, every born-again believer gets a second chance. God does not treat any one of us different than the other. What is good for one, he blesses the other with too. It does not hold back. We have the same Savior. But the question is, what are we doing with our second chance today? We're not only given the precious gift of eternal life, but a chance at life anew. But what we see most often in the lives of believers should not be the norm. We find these days those that are born again are like Hezekiah. They fail out the gate. They usually fall short within the first couple of months of being saved. We see them here. They get saved. They get excited. They get on fire for God. And next thing you know, they're gone. They squandered their second chance. God's made it afresh and anew for them. God set them on a solid rock of foundation. God paved the way and straightened out their feet. But yet their second chance was blown. We find that most of them fail. Most new converts today never learn how to walk for Christ, much less run. And on a side note, you know what? I don't think it's their fault most of the time. Most new converts, when they get saved, they walk out of this church, and what happens? We forget about them. What is it our job as older Christians to do? Is it not to disciple the new converts? Is it not to take their hands and to hold them, to walk them through the Bible, to teach them how to study and how to pray, to show them how to defend themselves against Satan? Because a new convert, Satan is going to go out and try to devour immediately. But it's our job as older Christians to protect the ones. Do we leave new babes at home alone to defend for themselves? A babe in Christ is no different. We need to nurture them and show them how to serve God. We need to help them with their second chance at life anew. We need to disciple them. We need to keep after them, to check on them, and to attend their needs. A second chance is for old converts. A lot of us, I think, though, are way past our second chance. I know for me for sure that God has given me one or two or three or a half dozen chances at life. And I thank Him for it. And I thank Him for allowing me again to come and serve. But somewhere along the lines of our second chances of life for our older converts and us are here tonight, we forget the glory of what God has done in our lives. We forget the glory of our salvation. We forget to get up every morning and remember the day that we got saved by Jesus Christ. We forget to get up every morning and once again have that joy that happened the day that you said, "Yes, Lord." We forget about our second chance. We forget about the day that Christ saved us. We forget about the day that He called us to repentance. And we don't even think about our second chances at life anymore. Now we get up in the mornings and we walk out of the door and don't even bat an eye to God or to Christ or to His Word or to what He's done for us. We don't even think about it as a second chance at life anymore. Oh, it's just life now. Can I tell you, it should not be. God has given us a great gift through His Son, Jesus Christ. A great gift and a new life. And we should honor Him with that life. We should uphold that second chance that He gives us like we should our salvations. But we don't. We let it go. We don't even remember it. We cast it aside. He gave us an awesome opportunity. He gave us all the power of heaven to go with us. For lo, I am with you always. He's on our side. He gave us all the strength we need to fight the battles of day to day. He's done everything that He said He would. To help us. To walk for Him just like Paul did. But we cast our second chances away. And we do nothing with Him. We don't honor Him with them. We don't even thank Him for them. We don't pray. We don't read. We do nothing. And if we haven't cast our second chances away, then we're like the guy with a single talent. We're sitting on it. Doing nothing. God didn't give us a second chance to sit in our seats. God didn't give us a second chance to stay at home and do nothing for Him. God didn't give us a second chance so that we could take it and hide it. He gave us a second chance so that we could go out and use it for His honor, for His glory. He gave us a second chance so that we can go out and multiply it into His name and for His name's sake. He gave us a second chance so that we can go out and evangelize the world. To be a Paul, to be a John, to be a Barnabas, to be a Peter. He gave us a second chance to serve Him and to love Him. There are some that take the second chance of opportunity to do absolutely nothing with. Our second chance is not an invitation to go out and sin either. Baptists have a really bad name because we get born again and then think we can go out and do whatever we want. Can I tell you that's not what your second chance is for? Your second chance is not so that you can go out and have fun and not worry about what happens. That's not what your second chance is for. Your second chance is to bring others to God. Your second chance is to honor Him and to love Him. Your second chance is to build a house for the Lord. It's to raise your children in His namesake and to protect them. Your second chance is to do things for God and God alone. We need Paul-type Christians today. We need Christians that understand what they have gotten in the gift of life. We need Christians that understand and know and appreciate what God has given them through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we need Christians to take the new life and start running their race. We need Christians to understand that they have the power of God on their side and that they should fear no evil. We need Christians to have a fire for Christ and the desire to see others saved, desire to see others get the same second chance at life that they got. That they take it and they pray and they study and they read and they glorify God with their lives. We need people that appreciate what God has done. You know, you give gifts to kids, right? At Christmas time, we've seen this in our household. You go out and you spend your hard-earned money on a present for Christmas, and 2 weeks later, where's that gift at? In the closet, on the floor, beat up, broken. Can I tell you that God Almighty sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and give you a free gift? And you toss it aside. It's laying in the closet. It's busted. It's broken. We need to take that gift for what it is. It's a second chance to do wonderful things for God. And we don't need to cast it aside. We need to put it on a pedestal so that it glows. So that we know that it's there and we honor it and appreciate it. And we do things for God like we're supposed to. What have you been doing with your second chance? Have you been like Hezekiah? And out the gate, have you faltered and floundered? Or have you done like Paul? Or maybe even like David? David got a wonderful second chance. And he'd done great things. How about Peter? Peter had a couple of second chances. But he preached at Pentecost. And 3,000 were added to the church. Became a martyr for Christ. Because of his second chances. He learned from his mistakes. Have we learned as Peter did? I truly believe that the most committed sin today, though, is the sin of omission. James 14:7, we know the verse is, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him in his sin. I don't think a lot of Christians today, a lot of true Christians, those that are, I hate saying true Christians because you're either saved or you're not saved. But I believe most of our sins sit in the fact that we simply do not do what God asks us to do. We simply just don't go out and tell our neighbor about Christ. We simply just don't follow the Holy Spirit's guiding when He says, hey, go talk to that person. Or, hey, I want you to do this inside of the church. Hey, I want you to volunteer for this. Or, hey, I want you to go here. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to know how many people that we missed that God had put in our paths simply because we did nothing. Can I tell you, a second chance is a chance to tell others about a free gift that was given to you. What are you doing with your second chance? Are you using it for God? Or did you squander it away? Let's stand. Father God, we love you. Lord, and I thank you for my many second chances. Lord, and I pray that we learn, Lord, to honor and appreciate what you truly have done for us. For there's no greater gift than the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and a new life through Him. Father God, you have given this church a second chance. But Lord, your people have to honor that. Lord, help us tonight. Show us in our hearts how that we can glorify you with the second chance of life that you have given us. Have your way and your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The altar is open. What have you done with your life since Christ has called you to salvation? Have you served Him faithfully throughout the years? Or have you stumbled? Have you honored the gift that He had given you in a second chance at life? Or is there things there that shouldn't be? You know, maybe you need another chance. God will give that to you too. If you come and repent and ask God for help, He'll give you another chance to serve Him. Maybe you need to thank God for the chance He's given you now. Maybe tonight you're not saved. Come forward, somebody will show you in God's Word how to be saved. Maybe God is asking you to do something tonight. Come and do it. To know to do it and do it not, the Bible says it's sin. There's still some praying. Y'all keep Brother Blake out of his family and y'all's prayers.